Well, thank you, Mr. Troyer, and good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to all of you here, and welcome to the visitors we have with us as well. Nice to have my counterpart, Grandpa from Canada, down today. Aiden Bowman down visiting. Great to have him along with us today. As we begin today, I'd like to ask you to think about some things that might come into your mind when you hear the words, sure thing. Sure thing. Are there some things in life that we know of that people would say are sure things? Are there things in life that really are sure things? These are things that we know for certain will happen, the types of things that we can count on 100%. These are things that cannot fail, the kinds of things that the old saying, you can take that to the bank, would refer to. We're talking about things that will definitely happen. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Now, I'm sure we've all heard various things that people might say are sure things, things that you can take to the bank. If I ask you to jot down four or five things that you've heard others say are sure things, what are some of the things that might be on your list? One of the things we may have heard people say over the years that is a sure thing, the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. That happens every day like clockwork. You can take that to the bank. The sun will rise in the east and set in the west, and that is a sure thing. Here's a sure thing that may be unique to this area of the country, and Northeast Ohio in particular. It's something we have most likely heard people say before. I've heard this ever since I was young. Here in Northeast Ohio, we all know it's a sure thing that sometime during the year, we'll experience all four seasons of weather in one 24-hour period. Now, that may sound pretty strange to others who don't live here, but we live here, and we know that we'll have a day or two each year that seems to include weather and temperatures of all four seasons in the same day. For us, that is a sure thing. There's no doubt about it. If we're a diehard Cleveland Browns fan, for instance, we may say that it's a sure thing that the Browns will win the Super Bowl before the end of this century. Now, I realize that's only 78 years left in this century, and that may be a bit far-fetched. But I know diehard Browns fans that truly believe that this will happen. The Browns will win the Super Bowl before the end of this century, and that is a sure thing. Now, for the record, I am one of those Browns fans that truly believe that Christ will return before the Browns win their first Super Bowl. I believe you can take that to the bank. But what if you were to ask a neighbor or a coworker to tell us some things that are sure things? I believe we'd inevitably hear this from many of them. The only sure things in life are what? Death and taxes, right. That's likely what many of them would say. I expect we've all heard that before. The only sure things in life are death and taxes. And we know that for the billions of people around the world that God has not called yet, those without the gift of His Holy Spirit, who are currently limited in their understanding, those may be the only sure things, death and taxes. Nothing else in life for them is certain. But for all of those that God has called now who have the gift of His Holy Spirit, we know that death and taxes are not the only sure things in life. Our list of sure things would be very different from the list of those not yet called by God. We understand that our awesome God has an incredible plan that will ultimately include all who have ever lived. We know that God's plan is pictured by the seven annual holy days. The first three, of course, deal directly with our personal commitment to God's calling. And the four fall holy days look ahead to the events yet to be fulfilled in the near future. Now, for those of us who have been called now as God's first fruits, the fulfillment of the fall holy days is a sure thing. And yes, you can take that to the bank. For us, that is a certainty, and there is no doubt about it. Thankfully, God has opened our minds to understand things that are still a mystery to the world. We know that God has a master plan. We know the fulfillment of that plan, pictured by these upcoming fall holy days, is a sure thing. God's people regularly and earnestly pray for the fulfillment of God's plan to begin, as God instructed us to do. Let's start by reviewing that in Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin today in Matthew chapter 6. We pray for this on a daily basis. Christ instructed us to do that here in Matthew chapter 6. Let's read that beginning here in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In this model prayer, after addressing God the Father, Christ instructs us to pray for God's kingdom to come. And he ends by saying the power and glory of that kingdom will have no end. It's an everlasting kingdom. It will go on for eternity. While we're here in Matthew chapter 6, let's also read verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Christ's instructions are clear for us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and pray for his kingdom to come. We need to look no further than the daily news headlines to see how badly we need that kingdom here on earth. That momentous event that starts when Christ returns as the seventh trumpet sounds will trigger the fulfillment of the fall holy days, and that is a sure thing. The title for this message is Sure Things and the Fall Holy Days. Sure Things and the Fall Holy Days. Now, just to give us some perspective, we are only 15 days from the Feast of Trumpets and just 36 days away from the eighth day or the last great day. This means that just over 5 weeks from today, we will have completed the holy day cycle for another year. Our spiritual and physical preparations for these days is most likely in full swing by now, or certainly soon will be. Today, we'll briefly review each of the fall holy days to whet our appetites for observing these special days and to encourage us to keep in mind the fulfillment of these days is a sure thing. Now, with that in mind, let's review first the fourth holy day in God's plan, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the fulfillment of this day includes many incredible and supernatural events. Even for those of us with very vivid imaginations, and I know some of you have vivid imaginations, the events surrounding the fulfillment of that Feast of Trumpets are impossible, I believe, for our human minds to fully grasp and to clearly picture. But these prophesied events will happen at precisely the right time, exactly as God said they would, and that is a sure thing. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. We'll stay in Matthew and go to chapter 24. See some events here that are described. Matthew chapter 24, we'll begin reading here in verse 29. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's also skip up to verse 27 as well. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so shall also will the coming of the Son of Man be. These are some incredible supernatural events described here that happen immediately after the Great Tribulation and usher in the glorious return of Christ to this earth. The sun and the moon will be darkened. The heavens will be shaken, stars will fall from heaven. There will be a blinding flash of light going from east to west. There will be an ear-piercing trumpet blast. Christ will descend from the clouds with power and with great glory, and every eye will see him. Now, we can only try to picture these awesome events in our minds today, the fulfillment of which are pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. But these things will happen exactly as Christ described them, and that is a sure thing. Let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's also read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 along these same lines. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read verses 51 through 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Here the Apostle Paul records some more incredible and supernatural events pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. Christ descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ, the saints of God, will rise from their graves. God's elect who are alive will rise to meet Christ in the air. It will be an instantaneous change from mortal to immortal. This all happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. What a fantastic and an incredible series of events Paul is describing here. Impossible, I believe, for us to fully grasp and to visualize. How many times have we tried to picture this momentous event in our mind's eye? But all of these things will happen, and that is a sure thing. And we know from Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 that Christ will stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west. This is yet another supernatural event surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. All the awesome events that are pictured by the Feast of Trumpets will happen at exactly the right time, precisely as God has planned, and that is a sure thing. Now the stage is set for the events of the fifth holy day in God's plan pictured by the Day of Atonement. We all know that this fifth holy day in God's plan is very different and how God commands his people to observe it. He commands us to afflict our souls, which requires us to fast, to go without food or drink for a full 24 hours. God intends for this holy day to have a different feel for all of us. This reminds us how much we need God, and in turn helps us to draw closer to him and farther from the influence of Satan. We need food and drink to survive physically, and we need God and his Spirit to survive spiritually. Let's start in Leviticus chapter 23 as we focus for a few minutes on the Day of Atonement. Back to Leviticus chapter 23. And we'll read about this day, the fifth day in God's plan, from Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll begin reading here in verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, and you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Here are a few highlights for us to remember about the Day of Atonement. It is a feast of God. It is a holy convocation. We're to afflict our souls by fasting from sunset to sunset. We should do no manner of work on that day. Its observance should humble us and help us draw closer to our Creator. And it pictures the future event of the binding and the removal of Satan and his influence on the earth. That removal of the adversary, Satan the devil, truly is something for us to celebrate. God's people celebrate on this day because all of humanity can finally be at one with God through the sacrifice of Christ. It is a time for rejoicing as it pictures a time in the future after Christ's return that will be free of Satan's evil influence. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 20 now. Revelation chapter 20. I believe Mr. Frank spoke of this in his letter. A nice, concise rundown he made of the fall holy days. Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. With Satan finally bound and restrained, he will be unable to deceive humanity. Real lasting peace cannot be achieved with Satan on the loose. The Day of Atonement pictures that time after Christ's return that Satan will be bound and his influence on the world will be restrained. Now for us, as we observe this holy day, it reminds us that we must submit to God, draw closer to him, and continue to resist Satan and to resist his influence. Let's read about that back in James chapter 4. Back to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. James 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace, therefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, until that time pictured by the Day of Atonement, when Satan and his influence are finally removed, we must humble ourselves. We must stay close to God and continue to steadfastly resist and fight against the influence of our adversary. The Day of Atonement is an annual reminder for us of the need to be at one with our Creator. The Day of Atonement helps us to draw closer to God and moves us farther from Satan. It pictures a time when Satan will be bound and his evil influence will be restrained. With Satan removed, the knowledge of God can spread freely around the world. So as we observe this fifth holy day in God's plan, we can only imagine what that will be like when Satan is gone from the scene. But this day will be fulfilled. Satan will be bound. Those who are faithful to God will begin teaching His way. The world will be completely transformed into the world tomorrow. What a fantastic time that will be when the Day of Atonement is fulfilled in God's plan. And that is a sure thing. So the stage is now set for the sixth step in God's awesome plan, the Feast of Tabernacles. God's people observe this seven-day festival every year, which pictures the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. It will be a utopian time beyond our imagination, as the saints of God, now spirit beings, will be assisting Christ in teaching God's way to humanity. What a joyous and a glorious time that will be, and it is a sure thing. Daniel had a vision of this time to come when God's kingdom is established on earth and the faithful saints will be reigning with Christ. Let's read a bit about that in Daniel chapter 7. Back to Daniel chapter 7. We'll skip around a bit here in Daniel chapter 7, beginning here in verse 13. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Skip down now to verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And now verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And finally, verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This part of Daniel's vision is describing the time after Christ has returned, and the resurrected saints and those faithful who are alive at Christ's return will be serving and assisting Christ for that 1,000 years. Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. When we keep God's seven-day feast, we are looking forward to and we are trying to picture this wonderful world to come and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. God's way will be taught and practiced, and the earth will be transformed. That time we picture during the Feast of Tabernacles will come to pass, and that is a sure thing. Now, for the next few minutes, let's review just a few of the passages that describe what it will be like during the millennium. Although these are certainly very familiar scriptures to all of us, reading and rereading them during the fall holiday season seems to never get old. And as incredible and amazing as these verses sound, we know without a doubt that these are sure things. But one important thing that we should remember is that at the onset of the millennium, as the millennium starts, the earth will be in shambles, and the people who have survived have lived through the most traumatic time that the world has ever known. It will be a massive rebuilding project of the physical, as well as healing and rebuilding the lives of those who survived. But under the rule of Christ, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a glorious new world will quickly rise from the chaos, destruction, and rubble that remain from the past. The earth and the people on it will desperately need to be restored and refreshed. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 now and see what Luke wrote about this refreshing and this restoration. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we'll read verses 19 through 21. Acts 3 and verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Much work will be needed to accomplish this refreshing and this restoration of all things, both physically and for the people as well. What a blessing it is to understand that God has called us to be a part of that process, assisting Christ during that 1,000 years, during these times of refreshing and restoration of all things. Let's go now to Micah chapter 4. Turn back to Micah. I'll give you a little extra time because I'll probably need a little extra time as well. Micah chapter 4. And we'll read just the first four verses, verses 1 through 4. Micah chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. I hope we never tire of reading these inspiring prophecies about this time that we picture in keeping God's feast every year. We should continue to try and enhance our own vision of what that time will be like and try to make it feel a bit more real every year. Because that time these verses describe is coming, and that is a sure thing. There are four verses in Isaiah chapter 11 that I believe paint a word picture for us like no other passage of Scripture. We may have read this hundreds of times, but it still can put a smile on our face. Turn back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll begin reading here in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a beautiful description of that time to come, that time we will be rehearsing as the feast begins just 29 days from today. Let's read verse 9 once again. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Doesn't that verse just make you smile a little and say, ah, what a joyous, what a glorious time that will be? And it will come to pass exactly as Isaiah wrote of it, and that is a sure thing. Now also during this time of transformation and healing, there will come miraculous healing for the people as well. The earth will be healed and the people will be healed. This is part of the times of refreshing and restoration of all things that we read about in Acts chapter 3. We get a glimpse of this in Isaiah chapter 35. Turn back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitations of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall there be any ravenous beast to go on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We may have read this chapter so many times over the years that we can recite parts of it from our memory. The desert will rejoice and blossom as a rose. They shall see the glory of the eternal. Strengthen the weakened hands, make firm the feeble knees. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, the parched ground shall become a pool. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. We likely will read and reread this chapter and many other scriptures as we prepare and as we observe this year the Feast of Tabernacles. I would like to encourage us not only to think on and try to picture what that world to come will be like, but to rejoice in knowing that all these things will come to pass at precisely the right time, exactly as God has planned, and that is a sure thing. Now, the first three of the fall holy days or festivals that we've reviewed include the component of supernatural events that can only be done by God and Christ. I believe that the fulfillment of the events associated with all four of the fall holy days are a bit beyond what our human minds can comprehend. But the awesome plan of God will be completed, and that is a sure thing. Now let's take a brief look at just some of the events pictured by the eighth day or the last great day. The fulfillment of this final holy day of the year comes after the millennium is over and the 1,000 years have ended. One event that will happen is that Satan will be released for a short time before he is finally imprisoned forever. Revelation 20 and verse 7 says, when the 1,000 years had ended, Satan will be released. He will once again deceive many people and form a huge army to battle against Christ in Jerusalem. He will succeed in convincing them that they can overthrow Christ's government. But this final attempt by Satan to defeat Christ and his saints ends very quickly. Let's read of that in Revelation chapter 20. Back to Revelation chapter 20. We'll see how quickly Satan's final rebellion is squashed. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is in the sand, as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, speaking here of Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Poof, they're gone. After this final and total defeat of Satan, another incredible and supernatural event takes place. I've been trying to picture in my mind's eye what this might look like since hearing about it at the feast back in the late 60s when I was just a little kid. I would expect that all of us have a picture in our mind of what we read about in Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's go there now to Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's try to picture this event, knowing that this will happen. It is a sure thing. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Eternal. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Something I've always tried to picture. What will that sound like? Some of those of us have been to camp. They did something that would make rain, and we would have them snap their fingers slowly and then snap them faster and faster. And it was surprising in that facility where we had camp how loud it would get when everybody was snapping their fingers. Just wonder, how loud will that sound be when those bones are rattling together, billions and billions of them, and coming together to form humans once again? In verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Eternal. What an unbelievable scene that will be, the sights and the sounds of which we can only try to imagine when literally tens of billions, some estimates have it upwards of 100 billion people, are supernaturally raised from the dead, their bones are joined together, and their bodies are restored to physical life. These are the people that have lived throughout human history, never having been called by God or knowing about his way of life. This massive group of humanity will also include all of our friends and relatives that are in this second resurrection. What a joyous and a glorious time this will be when this group of people will have the opportunity not only to receive God's calling, but to understand and have the opportunity to live by his way. The events that are pictured by the last great day culminate with a series of supernatural events that will come to pass, and that is a sure thing. How do we picture these awesome events in our mind? Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Back to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. You know, by this time, the physical earth is no longer needed to sustain human life, so it is utterly destroyed. And the vision that John wrote of here in Revelation chapter 21 will finally be fulfilled. Maybe you can take some time before we observe that last holy day of the year and meditate on these five verses. Try to picture what that new heaven and new earth might look like. Try to catch that vision in your own mind of a new heaven and a new earth, and what might that be like? A time of no more death or sorrow or crying, for the former things have passed away. These events will come to pass exactly as God has planned, and that is a sure thing. Now, for the vast majority of humanity, there are very few things that they know will absolutely happen, things that they could say are sure things. This is so much the case that it's very common to hear people say that the only sure things in life are death and taxes. But for those God has called now, who have received the gift of His Spirit, we understand that the Fall Holy Days picture some awesome and incredible events that absolutely and without a doubt will come to pass. The supernatural events associated with all four of the Fall Holy Days will happen exactly at the right time and precisely as God has planned. And that is a sure thing. So, brethren, this year, as we anticipate, as we prepare for and look forward to, and as we observe the Fall Holy Days, let's pray for a deeper understanding of each one. Let's thank God for His awesome plan. And let's rejoice in the knowledge that all these things will come to pass. And that is a sure thing.